And a good afternoon. Time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens from Immunutrition right here in Madison, Minnesota. Welcome back to the airwaves, Amber.
Thanks for having me.
Did you have a good Easter?
I did.
Had the whole family together, I hear?
Did you hear that?
I heard that, yeah.
At your house.
In fact, I might have seen you over there.
Yeah, you might have. Yes. No, it was really nice. It is nice to have everyone home.
It is. It was a lot of fun to get everybody together.
It is.
Well, today we're going to talk about something I don't think we've had this as a subject on the
program
before.
Yeah, at least not for a while.
No, maybe you brought it up just in discussions, but yeah. We're going to talk about reflux.
Reflux.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Also known as heartburn. Those are kind of used interchangeably sometimes, or gastroesophageal reflux disease or disorder, or GERD, as some people might know it.
What is it?
It's not a fun topic, I guess, but it's an important topic.
That's right.
So I mentioned
when your system starts backing up on you a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this today is April is esophageal cancer awareness month. And we're not going to dive deep into esophageal cancer, but one controllable risk factor that we have for esophageal cancer is reflux. And I like to talk about this because I have a lot of people who come into my office, especially women, who are really concerned about things that they've heard regarding PPIs, or proton pump inhibitors, which are some of our reflux control medications like omeprazole. So some of the things they're concerned about are the long-term risk factors that come with taking those medications for a really long time. I would say the main ones that people have heard about or are worried about are like cardiovascular disease or fractures. And there certainly are risks to long-term use of things like omeprazole, but that is a conversation for you to have with your provider. I think the most important thing for us to talk about today is that whether it's through a diet or medication or a combination of the two, managing reflux is really, really, really important. So sometimes people think, well, I can just manage it. I'll just deal with it for the times that I have it. But even experiencing moderate to severe reflux twice a week significantly increases risk for esophageal cancer. So reflux, or GERD, is a medical condition. It might be something that you feel that burning sensation coming up through your esophagus, but it can also be silent. So sometimes it goes undiagnosed because we don't necessarily experience it in the traditional way that we think of reflux or heartburn. So it could be a chronic cough or difficulty swallowing or this constant kind of bitter taste in your mouth. And again, if you're having those things, that's a conversation to have with your medical provider. So what is reflux? Well, essentially we have this connection between our esophagus and our stomach called the lower esophageal sphincter. And that's supposed to be held closed really tightly, except when you eat. And then it's supposed to open to let food in and then close tightly again. But sometimes over time, it can lose tone, so it just doesn't hold tightly as well. Or it can relax from pressure, like weight or pregnancy is really common, where you've got that extra abdominal situation kind of pushing up on it, lying down too soon after eating. All of those kinds of things can cause it to relax. But there's also foods that can cause it to relax and that can trigger all of these symptoms aside from weight and everything else.
So that's where you come in.
That's where I come in, right. Yes. And then people try to fix it through diet too. So we'll touch on those things today as far as what you can do to improve it. But when it comes to diet, biggest triggers for reflux would be high-fat foods. Now, one of the reasons that high-fat foods, especially greasy foods, are such a big trigger, in addition to causing that lower esophageal sphincter to relax a little bit, it takes our body longer to break down fat. So it stays in our stomach longer, which means anytime our stomach is more full, that lower esophageal sphincter is going to have more pressure pushing it open. So the longer things stay in our stomach, typically, the longer the greater risk we have of reflux. Citrus foods or tomatoes, high acidic foods, can be a trigger for a lot of people. Spicy foods, especially in the Norwegian population that doesn't handle spice real well, that can be a big trigger for reflux for people. Caffeine, so in people who consume large amounts of caffeine, alcohol can be a trigger for reflux. coffee, independent of caffeine, so even if it's decaf coffee, can be a reflux trigger for some people. Chocolate, peppermint, carbonation, cheese or certain kinds of dairy, and then simply overeating. So from a dietary standpoint, I would say those are the most common triggers. Now, some people will be triggered by one or two of those items. Some people will have all of them as triggers for reflux. Now, one of the things that people will do is they'll try to take Tums or an antacid like that every time they experience it. And that's fine if you're taking it appropriately and it helps you manage it. But one of the things that we can see from that if we take too much is rebound reflux. So we've got the reflux happening. We take a whole bunch of Tums to try to make it better. Our stomach says, oh, I'm really basic. I better produce more acid. And then it makes even more acid and causes more reflux for people. So if you are experiencing reflux, super important to talk to your medical provider about it or schedule an appointment with a dietitian or schedule an appointment with a dietitian because it's super important to keep it under control. Weight itself. So weight loss can be a way to help manage reflux. Now, I know it's not as simple as just lose weight. That's why so many people struggle with it. That's a very complex topic. But sometimes we see an increase in reflux as people gain weight. So simply losing the weight can be what cures reflux for some people. Now, there are plenty of thin people who also have reflux, and that's where looking for those dietary triggers can be good.
Probably drinking too much coffee.
That could be it. Yep. Or eating too much at one time. So,
and it says smoking also is not good for it. Nicotine can relax your whatever that is.
Your lower esophageal sphincter. Right. Absolutely.
I was looking online and here. Yes.
I'm pretty sure that nicotine and smoking themselves are also risk factors for esophageal cancer. So making sure.
And a whole lot of other stuff.
And so, a whole lot of other stuff.
Just quit. Yeah.
Yes. That is one thing that even if you don't change your diet, if you smoke and can quit, that's right.
Give it a good health choice. Give it the old college try.
That's right. So yeah, just eating appropriate portions can be kind of one of the simplest places to start. Listening to your hunger and fullness cues, avoiding overeating, looking for those trigger foods. Again, every person reacts differently. So you might have one, you might have 10. Getting adequate fluid intake from hydrating beverages like water. Some people use ginger in a smoothie, candied ginger shots, which are these little things you can make or purchase over the counter. But taking in real ginger is probably going to be more effective than a ginger pill or a ginger supplement. Apple cider vinegar is really common. Some people like to take a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar to manage reflux or to help with digestion. Not a lot of research to support that, but tons of anecdotal evidence, we'll call it, for it. But what I will say is do not drink apple cider vinegar straight. That is not good for your esophagus.
It doesn't sound good.
It's not going to feel good. Over time, that can also wear things down. So you want it diluted in water or diluted in lemon water. I usually say a cup of water to a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar if you're going to do that. Just don't drink it straight. Super important.
I don't think I would have thought of drinking that stuff straight.
A lot of people do. They think if I can just get that tablespoon in, I'm good to go. There are lots of herbs that can help with it too. Licorice is one of my favorites, licorice mint tea. But licorice can have an impact in other ways in your body too. So really important to talk with your provider, your pharmacist, your care team in general if you're going to do licorice, marshmallow root, slippery elm, aloe, milk thistle. And then even melatonin has been shown to be effective in improving lower esophageal sphincter tone. So there's lots of stuff out there and lots of stuff you can buy over the counter, but it's always really important to keep your care team in the loop on the stuff that you're purchasing over the counter because it can have an impact on hormones and digestion and medication and blood sugar and all sorts of other things.
And some of it, like you talk about, I think omeprazole, I think I was on that at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I quit taking it because it said long-term, you know, it shouldn't be used as a long-term fix.
And if you're prescribed omeprazole by your provider, don't stop taking it without talking to them. But if you're purchasing it over the counter, because you can also get it over the counter, make sure your provider knows that you're taking it. And when it says don't take for more than 2 weeks without talking to a care provider, don't take it for longer than the prescribed time. Make sure you reach out to your care team and deal with this.
All right. Well, good topic there today. And if anybody has any more questions on that or other things dealing with your digestion or nutrition or whatever, how can they find you?
You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or on Facebook at Immune Nutrition, or call here to the radio station, and you guys can get them in touch with me.
All right. And if people have questions, they can always call them to us. We can use them for future shows, too. So
absolutely.
Feel free to, you know, if you have any ideas, things you'd like us to talk about.
Call anytime.
Because I'm an expert on just about everything, and I know you have to have a little time to do some research. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Amber. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you.
For another Taco Tuesday on Q92.